All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal. Blackshirt Hour rolls forward with Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, co-host Big Red Wrap-Up, and find him on Twitter at JMoore44. Jay Bird, how was the weekend? Thanks for the time today.
Weekend was good. It was one of those weekends where there was no golfing for me, so I wasn't going out there and playing in 40-mile-an-hour gusts. So it was a good weekend to get a lot of yard work done. So I got that done Saturday, some Sunday morning. Then we had sports all afternoon, activities for my son on Sunday, and then boom, here we are. Monday of Masters Week, Monday of National Championship game, and the Big Red are getting through their third week of spring ball.
They are progressing. Some of us, Elijah was wiser than me, played Saturday.
Crazy.
Hey, let it be known, I was on the baseball diamond. It wasn't much more fun for me because Dinsmore number one, the wind was blowing directly into your face as the home plate umpire, which made for a not fun game, getting dust kicked up into the eyes. I was cleaning dust out of my ears for 2 days.
Yeah, I stuck anyway at golf, and then round one of the day, or round one of the year, is never great. Hit a couple of good shots, but that's it. After nine, turned to the crew, and they said, "Do you want to just go drink some beer?" I'm like, "Well, yes. Yes is the answer." So we tapped out like wusses after nine, but it was just unholy.
WWTD, Schmitty, what would Tiger do?
Well,
he would have finished the round.
Listen, he wouldn't even have stepped up.
He would have abstained.
So funny story. This is 10 plus years ago, but before any of us had kids, group of eight of us said, let's go down to Colbert Hills in Manhattan, Kansas. You know, it was one of those February days where it was supposed to be 60 degrees. They had me snow on the ground. So let's go down there. Well, as the week progressed, it got worse and worse. And I'm like, we're not playing, are we? Everyone's like, hell yeah, I'm getting away. Let's go play. We played nine holes. It was so miserable. It was 42 degrees. It was blowing 30, cloudy, not nice. So we said, let's put the clubs away after nine holes. And let's go down to Aggieville and hang out. So that's needless to say, there was I think we had to get a hotel in Manhattan at the last minute. So it was a fun trip.
Jay, we'll get into some of your Masters picks here. I want to talk national title game tonight and relay it back to some of your mates you played football with at Nebraska. Who was the Zach Edey of Nebraska basketball pickup games back in your era?
From the football team?
From the football team.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, probably first guy, tall. You could, good. I mean, I would say probably, I'd probably have to go Zach Potter.
He was on my list here.
Yeah, I'd have to say Potter. I mean he's all of, Potter's all of 6'7".
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't have any 7-footer pluses playing football. So he probably be the first one, and he could hoop. He was good. He was crafty. He had good footwork. He could shoot. So
hustler.
What's that?
Hustle guy.
Yeah.
Wonderful motor.
Correct. Yeah. Very cerebral. definitely. Yeah. Zach Potter definitely takes the Zach Edey. Check that one off the bingo card. Yeah,
he's a sneaky athlete,
I mean, just an insane motor. But was Sue a better player? Was Sue a better player than you guys thought he was, or did Sue think he was a great player and he was all right? No one just wanted to piss him off because he'd pop the basketball.
Well, the thing about in basketball, guys, it's always funny. They, whether they're in the weight room, the practice field, they're talking about how they got a sweet jumper, they got handles, they got all this stuff, and they get out there and they try to do it. But some guys, they're so athletic, they get out of control. Now, this isn't Sue. I mean, he's obviously real athletic. Sue was good. I mean, he could shoot, he can dribble, he could, a really good athlete. But yeah, I mean, some of the, listen, it's hard because you're playing against other large human beings and you get your competitive juices going and you're like, hey, I'm not getting hurt right now because I don't need to get chewed out by Coach Blake or Coach Callahan or something. And you had to play rather smart around certain people because you just did not want to, get a gash in the forehead or, you know, piss anyone off and then or get ran over. So you had to play you had to be cerebral on that end as well to know who you're messing with and know when to pick your battles as well. Because some guys, they just had a hard time turning it off. Mm-hmm. And most really good athletes, once you get them going, that competition steps up, and it's hard to shut it down. And so it was a lot of fun. I mean, everyone is such a good athlete. Everyone could play. Everyone played at a very high level in high school, and so a lot of epic pickup games going down in the rec center. On a off day during spring ball, Tuesday or I think our off days are in spring ball, like Tuesdays and Thursdays. So there's a lot of those games going down.
Jay, I like this topic here. One more thought on this. If you're constructing a roster and you got the starters all penciled in, but you need a sixth man, a guy who's willing to use all five fouls, bring in some energy, not afraid to be physical, which guy are you picking? Could be your teammate, could just be a guy you watched growing up. Which former Husker, though, are you picking to be that sixth man, that enforcer, maybe that Lambeer type?
Two guys come to mind. Both went to the same high school. Both are Chicago guys. Played a lot of ball with Corey McEwen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one guy who's really good. But his teammate from Naperville as well in high school, I'd say it would be Sean Hill. Sean was a walk-on. And Sean played, you know, in his, as a walk-on, his junior and senior year, caught a handful of touchdown passes. So, and really good athlete. But Sean Hill is that Lambeer guy. So I think that's what he was, even in high school, playing in Naperville, Illinois. He was a guy. You need someone to an elbow right in the ribs or whatever it is. Sean was a guy, so I'd say definitely Sean Hill would be that Lambeer guy to come off the bench and set the tone if it needed to be set.
Jay, as you've kind of soaked in spring football, we'll shift gears. You know, what are your impressions? Pretty good presser by Rule on Saturday. Bill Belichick on hand. Several hundred coaches from in-state and out-of-state to check out the Nebraska operation. And there just seems real peace. Or Nebraska and Rule are at peace, just things are clicking along. Not to break anyone's arm, patting himself on the back, but they just feel pretty secure right now into this second spring.
Yeah, I think everyone's more familiar. Everyone knows. I think expectations have been set. Everyone knows what to expect. You get to the fine details of everything. Your installs are much quicker. And I think you should be comfortable. I mean, last spring, it's your first time with the team, trying to feel everyone out. How is, you know, with your players, and also you got to kind of feel everyone out with your staff. This is how your staff reacts to the new players and how it goes down, just being in a new place. And it's, you know, it's different than how things are at Baylor or at Temple or even at the Carolina Panthers. So everyone's got to get their feet wet, get comfortable, and obviously, you know, now being here full in coaching for a year with one real season underneath them. It definitely sounds like they're more comfortable and more in tune with everybody. And it's just kind of nice to, you know, you have the ability to bring in freshmen, you know, that were signed in December. You know, seems like more and more guys are coming in to participate in spring ball. And that's fantastic because you get them it's amazing. Even I look at last fall and how many young guys were able to play, and a majority of them, I think, except maybe Riley Van Poppel, everyone has participated in spring ball. So I know that makes coaches happy get those young guys in here and get them extra reps. And it's also just a time that you just worry about getting better. You don't have to worry about any game planning. You don't have to worry about, the stuff that you have to worry about during the season. It's just, let's just get down to brass tacks here and let's just work on day in and day out. Let's just get a little better, and you just turn up again the next day. Let's get a little better. So it's just really simple right now, and I think coaches can appreciate that. Because let's be honest, being a coach in college football nowadays, there is no time off. You got to recruit. You got to recruit 24/7. You got to recruit your own roster 24/7. So I think just when it's just ball on the field and just you're all you're doing is trying to get better. I think that makes Coach Rule and his staff. That's where they want to do, and that's where they want to be. And so you can just see, you know, and it's just the there's definitely sound, look, talk. Seem like they're at not at peace, but just, you know, at home and happy where they're at currently.
Jay, at what point is it during spring, is it during fall, is it when that first game rolls around? At what point does the team know how good the team can be? Because we've had reports out within the past week. There's coaches at some big time programs apparently looking at their interior defensive line saying we need some help here. We're not going to be very good. But to me, that strikes me as, man, you're not trusting your development, how much better a guy can get between spring and summer and fall. At what point does a team actually know how good they can be in the fall?
You know, I don't know. I think that's hard. I think that's hard for a player because, when I look back to my time as a player, I never thought, I ever wondered how good we could be. I just put my head down and went to work, and whatever happened, happened. I need to do something different. I did it the next day, and I was trying to be as coachable as possible. But it's so tough to tell because you spend so much of your time. I guess during the spring, you're going more good on good, and you kind of see who's gotten better and who's stepping up. So you know who's gotten better from the year before. But again, in your back of your mind, it's like you still know it's just practice. And it doesn't really matter until you're able to go do it in a real game. But you have to do it on the practice field first. But there's just so much, you know, especially during the season, once you kind of get into game planning, you spend so much time away from the offense and the defense. You know, you're working on scout team stuff and the offense is working on their scout team stuff that you don't know exactly what they're game planning for. I think as a player, you might have an idea, but you just never know. And I think even with some of these guys, you know, they've been a part of different teams, different staffs, they haven't been very successful, obviously. So I don't even know who some of these, you know, these older guys, I'm thinking like Isaac Gifford and Nash and Ty Robinson, who've been around for a while and who obviously are leaders of the team. I don't know how they even know how good they can be. The schedule sets up very well for them this year. But I honestly think most players are pretty naive to it all. And they just, I think the mature ones don't really get too caught up in that. It's, you know, I'm just going to show up on a work. I'm going to do what I need to do to get my stuff done, held my teammates accountable, and just go to work.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Blackshirt Hour rolls forward with Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, co-host Big Red Wrap Up. And Jay, tampering is not supposed to be a thing, but it is. And even if somebody doesn't have their name in the portal, that's not going to keep, you know, a friend of a friend's program from maybe reaching out. Mm-hmm. And I look at what Nebraska's built. I look at what's happened with their front line, and that's Ty and that's Polar Bear. I look at their really talented second-year guys with Len Hart and Prince Will and Van Poppel. And Judy's a guy, too, that was cited as a wild card that is in a really good spot, and you could see some jumps from him from Coach Knighton. Do you worry about Nebraska getting rated? And it's to Elijah's point just a moment ago with Josh Pate's tweet that some teams who are really thin on the interior defensive line around college football, some big spenders, may try and go shopping. Do you think Nebraska could be immune or will be immune from it just because of the relationship this staff has with their kids?
I don't think you're ever completely immune to it. This world is a crazy place, and some people just do whatever they have to do to get an edge up. But I feel really good because I feel like if you had Nash and Ty and Isaac, you know, you're just speaking the D-line period, I guess, but even if Nash and Ty, these guys could have went and put themselves in the NFL draft if they wanted to. They made a choice to come back. and play because they know they're trying to build something and they got something developing. And yes, it does help that you have the 1890 around to support them and to support the football program and, you know, all the athletic departments at the university. So I'm not too concerned. I think it's, listen, I know it is, you know, we're talking lots of them. It's big time money now. I mean, these NIL deals are huge. Hundreds of thousands of dollars that these young kids are getting paid. And that's kind of brings out the, you know, you start getting agents involved and just bad decisions. And sometimes agents just start looking out for themselves and not what's best for the kids and the players. So I'm not surprised by any of this, that potentially is going on, but I'm not too concerned. I think if they were going to leave, maybe they would have done it after the season, but you don't go through spring ball. You don't go through all these things. And that's just, I think the kids are too good of kids to do that. Mm-hmm. I think they come from too good of families to do that, to make those kind of irrational decisions. So I'm not too concerned, but listen, I also don't want to be too naive to think that that's not going to happen. I mean, it could happen eventually, and I'm sure it's going to happen to other players. But I mean, just look at, the Proctor deal from Alabama to Iowa, potentially now back to, you know, going back to Alabama. It's just, you get young kids involved in making decisions based off money. And you get other people, family members that are looking out for themselves and not out for the player. At least you're going to have scenarios like that happen. But I feel like the football program at Nebraska is in a pretty good place. And I think with Rule and this is how he communicates with his players and how Coach Knight communicates with his players and so on and so forth, that, you know, like I said, I don't ever say we're completely immune, but I think we're damn close.
Jay, Masters Week is here. Scheffler is your number one, but pretty low on some of the betting boards. You got Rahm. Can he go back to back? Kepka, Rory, Spieth, Zalatoris. What are our favorites? Wasn't that long ago he was swinging away at Wilderness Ridge. Who do you like this weekend? Do you have a win, place, and show?
Yeah, you know, I have a list I've kind of gone through, and so there's so much data that's available for the Masters because it's always at the same course. So you can kind of see who's performed well in the past compared to, you know, all the stats, putting to inside of 100 to 150 to 185, all this stuff. You can break it all down. Initially, my I would say I had a win, play, show, not that order, but I'd give you my top three. Two of them come from Live Golf. I like Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka this week. Both have played well in the last year. Brooks, you know, won the PGA last year. He's finally healthy. I think Bryson's been playing really, really well. And I think for my third guy, as I'm looking at my list over here, godly, I mean, it doesn't take much. I mean, Scheffler's ball striking is so freaking good that he has an average putting week, he's going to win. And if he puts average, he's going to win. He's just that good. So I also like Xander Schauffele. Guy's played a ton this year and played really, really well. So I'd say there's my top four. Mm-hmm. You get two PGA guys and two LIV guys, I think, are going to battle it out. But it's my favorite time of year. It's the best. It's my favorite sporting event. I was able to go back in 2017 for a couple days, and it's just nothing like it. You just have it on the TV all day. You know, I wish it happened a couple times a year, but this is my favorite week of the year, boys.
Jay, as you look at the forecast down in Augusta, we got rain forecasted Wednesday night into Thursday, some rain showers on Thursday as well, and then overnight rain Thursday into Friday before the rest of the weekend clears up. I'm not asking about schedule-wise. That's for somebody who makes a lot more money than me to figure out how they're going to play through some rain and make sure y'all get it in by Sunday. But how do you think that changes the golf course? Obviously, green's going to be a little bit softer. And yeah, do you think that favors anyone in particular?
Well, you got to look. So when it's softer, and talking about the fairways, that makes them bigger. But also, guys are going to be able to get more roll. So it's going to favor guys who carry it further off the tee. So yeah, your guys like Brooks Koepka, I mean, they all hit it a mile anymore anyways, but you know, your Brooks Koepkas, your Bryson DeChambeaus, your Dustin Johnsons. I mean, Rahm hits it plenty far. Scheffler still hits it. I mean, they all hit it 300 plus in the air. So that's not going to be an issue. Greens will be softer, but they have that, you know, Augusta has the sub air. They have a system underneath it that can dry out the greens. So they can kind of turn those bad boys on and let that go to work. But it's also just the draw does matter if there's weather, because if you're off early on Thursday, you're late on Friday. And if you're late on Friday, you're off early on Friday. So if you're off late on Thursday, you're early on Friday. So kind of getting that right wave does matter with weather. So that could potentially, provide an issue. But any more, people that win Augusta are long. It's a big boy golf course. They've extended it. They've lengthened it numerous times. So I would think you're not going to have your guys like, you know, Brian Harman, and your shorter hitters just aren't going to be, you know, Zach Johnson won it, 10 years ago, laying up in every par five, but the weather was so bad that he was able to get away with it. I think two over par won it that year. So if it's going to be wet, it's going to definitely favor the guys who can carry it a long way off the tee.
About 30 seconds, Tiger does what?
I think he makes a cut. Listen, he's not going to play much anymore. He knows this golf course better than anybody. He knows where to miss on certain pins. He knows what angles to take. He knows what little slopes and things do. I think if he makes the cut, I think that's a win. I think he's unfortunately a long ways away from competing to win. He might get himself up there close, but that body's been through a lot to compete and walk on this hilly and undulated golf course for four straight days. Will be taxing, but I think he makes a cut.
Jay, we'll get hollered at you next Monday. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yep, you got it, boys. Thank you.
Good to hear from Jay Moore. We'll wind down a Monday next.